May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Listening to Brian Way's sermon, what a gift it is to listen to the sermons of other people instead of just hearing my own voice all the time. Hasn't that been wonderful? It has been really wonderful to hear all these different perspectives on the scripture and to be enriched by them. Well, listening to Brian Way's sermon last week, I was struck by something that he said right at the beginning of his sermon. He said that Jesus' miracle occurs at different times in each of the Gospels. And he inspired me with this thought. Perhaps different Gospels, written by different people, perhaps different Gospels remember Jesus' miracle differently and at different times, because we, each of us, see God working in our lives in different ways. What looks like God to me might look like coincidence to someone else. And what looks like God in a different situation to you might look to me like good healthcare, or might seem like a normal day, or it might seem like a day full of challenges and stressors one minute, but in another minute and with a different sense of perspective, we see God powerfully at work. And I found myself thinking this whole week, what a miracle it is that God can speak to each of us in such different ways. I think, what a miracle of grace that God has so many different ways to approach us in our lives. And then just think about it. How many ways is God at work and speaking to us, and we don't even notice? It's like that parable of the sower, where the sower is just throwing seed everywhere. I mean, that sower, he's like sowing seed on the path, he's throwing seed on the rocks, he's sowing seed on the thorns. He doesn't care where the seed goes, knowing that only some of it is going to grow, but it's okay. Just keep throwing out oodles of seed. How beautiful is that? It's like that's what God does in our lives. God just throws out tons of opportunity and possibility, and God doesn't mind that we're only going to see or notice only some of it. It's like this beautiful richness of God, that God is at work in so many ways. God is speaking to us in so many ways, and we actually only really notice some of them. Well, in our gospel reading today from the Gospel of Luke, we meet Jesus just before his first miracle, as remembered in the Gospels of Mark and Luke, right? They don't remember the parable or the miracle of the wedding at Cana. That's okay. They just don't remember it. It maybe wasn't special to them. That's okay. So here we are. We are just before Jesus does his first miracle in Mark and Luke. To this point in Luke, Jesus has been a highly anticipated baby, an incredibly unusual child. He wise beyond his years, full of grace and truth, a profound and disconcerting teacher, a potentially revolutionary leader with an unsettling insight into the hearts of people around him. Yes, Jesus has been all of those things, but he has not yet been a worker of miracles. And then he steps up to read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah at the synagogue on that Sabbath. And he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has set me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he sat down and he said to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And we know what happened next. He walked out of that synagogue and into the world, and he laid his hands on people and they were healed. He brought freedom to those who were oppressed by demons. He set people free from their bondage under Roman rule. He let the blind see and the lame walk and the starving eat. He released people from our bondage to sin. He proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor indeed. Well, let's go back to that moment when Jesus was standing in front of that synagogue in Nazareth and had the scroll of the prophet Isaiah open in front of him. Here in front of them was Joseph's son. This is a boy that they'd all seen grow up, who until that point had done no miracles. In that moment, Jesus was asking them to believe enough to open their eyes and to see what God was already doing. He asked them to believe before the miracles began to prove it. Now, we know that miracles followed, so it's easy to believe what Jesus was saying, but they were there in that space where believing comes before seeing. And if we read just a little further into the story, after our passage finishes today, we find out that they couldn't do it. They couldn't believe what he was saying before he did miracles to prove it. And we know there were a ton of people who saw a bunch of miracles and still couldn't believe it. Well, today, friends, Jesus asks us the same thing that he asked them on that day, 2,000 years ago. Are we willing to believe before we see? Are we willing to believe before we see? This is the essential question of what faith means. Are we willing to believe before we see? Here at St. George's, something is happening. Can you see it? I can see it. I wasn't here for 5 or 6 weeks, and I come back, and whoa, I can see it. And I get these voicemail messages from people who've taken services here, and let me tell you, they can see it. Can we see it? This congregation is turning around, just in maybe some small ways. Folks new to the Northeast, new to Calgary, new to Canada, are finding family and community here. Together, we're finding ways to support and help one another. We're finding ways to be Christ's hand and feet to one another. We're finding healing and reconciliation and resurrection from the abuse that has happened in our congregation's past. Those things we can see. We can see them in little ways, but we can see them happening. But what about the things that Jesus is asking us to believe in before we can see them? Here in our midst are people who have left everything that they have ever known and taken a huge risk to come to Calgary, trusting that God will find them here. And they find St. George's. Can we see how we are finding God in one another's company? Here in our midst are people who are living through profoundly painful life experiences. And they're taking a risk in opening themselves and being vulnerable and asking for help, the help and support of the people around them. And please, God, may they find him present in the love offered by this community. Here in our midst are people who would like to belong, and they're taking a risky step in letting themselves be known by us and asking us to get to know them. Are we finding God in welcoming strangers, each of us letting ourselves be known and getting to know them? I believe we are, but it's a good question to keep asking ourselves. Here in our midst, there are hurts from the past, from when this congregation was damaged by previous clergy. And the longer-term members of the congregation are taking a huge risk in healing from those pains. In some cases, the pains that they are pains that they themselves caused to others in that dreadful time, and they're taking the risk of repentance. And in some cases, the pain is that which was caused by others, and they are taking a risk at finding new life. And the whole congregation is taking a risk in saying, we survived that time by learning certain ways to take shelter from the danger. Now we are safe, and we need to learn new ways to be healthy together and to trust one another. And so we took a risk of making a covenant together, which is remembered by this candle that I appreciate the fact that it's getting more and more tattered as time gets on. I think this is a good thing. And it's getting to the point where we're going to have to relocate the ribbons because they're all sort of getting a bit cramped. But this is a good thing. We light this candle every single Sunday as a way of reminding ourselves of the covenant that we have made together. Now we are safe. Now we will treat one another as people who have the space to trust one another, to be healthy with one another, to repent when repentance is needed, to forgive when forgiveness is needed, because we're safe and we can do all of these things. And doing those things will help keep us safe into the future. We took this risk of making this covenant together. And my question is, do we believe that it's making a difference? Before, perhaps, we can see something so dramatic that we can't deny it any longer. We need to keep taking these kinds of risks in the year to come. We need to keep believing that God is powerfully at work here. We need to act in faith and trust what God is doing in our lives, trusting it even if we can't quite see it yet, even if we're not quite certain whether this in particular is important. We need to trust that it is important, that it's worth doing something that is hard because it is the thing that is right, because it is the thing that is good, because it is the thing that brings us closer to God and closer to new life. We need to trust that healing and new life will come. We need to trust that we will find belonging. We need to trust that we can survive terrible times with the help of this community. We need to trust that love can be a force for good in the world, and that is what we are called to be. Even before we can see it, God is doing this work in our midst. I believe it. And the people around us can see it, even if we can't see it ourselves, because they just seem like tiny little changes. It just seems so small. I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, a woman named Betty came to Calgary to stay with her daughter for a few months. I want you to know, this is an actual real story. This is not one of those stories that I sort of make up in order to tell a nice point. This is an actual real story. So, and as I tell this story, members of the congregation who are around then might actually remember the Betty that I'm talking about. This lovely woman named Betty, she came to Calgary to stay with her daughter for a few months. So she'd sold her home in Ontario. She had a daughter here. She had a son on the East Coast. She was trying to decide what part of the country she was going to move to, which of her children needed her more. And somehow, I don't really know how, she found St. George's. And she joined us for worship kind of slightly before the beginning of Lent. And hey, don't you know, it worked. Wonderful parishioners of the congregation invited her to the pancake supper. So, okay, so she came to the pancake supper. And that she was invited to come to Ash Wednesday the next day. She came to Ash Wednesday the next day. And we were all going, wow, look, she's coming to these things. This is so great. And so then, wonderful parishioner invited her to join the Lenten study. So she joined the Lenten study. And so we got to know Betty. Well, it was just at that time when we were first talking about the abuse and the bullying that had happened at St. George's under its former clergy. And I don't know about you guys, but I know that in some of the meetings upstairs, there was this undercurrent of worry that if people knew that this had happened, then they would not be interested in being a part of St. George's. Because that's a terrible thing that happened. And it caused us shame. And it caused us worry about what would happen if some newcomer ever found out about that thing that had happened. We were worried that it would drive people away if they knew. But the amazing thing is that, you know, it didn't bother Betty. She just stuck with us. And she was like brand new newcomer. I think it was like her first Sunday here when I first talked about what we had found had happened here. Well, just last week, I received a letter from Betty. And she's settled down in Halifax now. It turns out that either Halifax is really wonderful or her son needed her more than her daughter did. Well, here's what she wrote, just a piece of what she wrote. It's this beautiful letter. I really enjoyed worshiping with your faith family in 2016 and 2017 when I was visiting at my daughter's. The vitality of the Holy Spirit is in so many aspects of worship and fellowship there. I still receive your bulletin and respond in prayer and thanksgiving for my time with you. I have worshiped at a number of places across this country and abroad. And if I had to list in terms of most to least liked, St. George's Calgary would be tops. In spite of the turmoil the community and individuals have gone through, God shines. So Betty was a newcomer and heard about some of our darkest times. And you know what? In our darkest times, God shined. God shined. I have worshiped in places in Canada and abroad, and St. George's would be tops. That filled me with such joy, because it is so normal for us to feel like we can never, ever talk about those things that happened in our lives, those things that all of us have that happened in our lives, because if people knew, then they might think that we were weak or that we didn't deserve or whatever they might think. And God does this amazing thing sometimes where God turns our weakness into strength. And I believe that that is what God is doing here at St. George's. That the strength that is coming out of really working through those tough times is what is going to give us the power and the strength and the faith and the vitality and the energy and the compassion and the love to care for other people who have dark experiences in their lives. Other people who are trying to heal from things that are really painful. Other people who really need to believe that God is real and that God can change their lives. And I think that's what's happening at St. George's. God is real, and God is changing our lives. God is changing this church. And we get to say to other people and be there with other people and say to them too, God is real, and God can change your life. And we get to be God's hands and God's feet as God does that in other people's lives. And through those other people, we can say to ourselves, holy smokes, look at that. God is real. God is changing that person's life. Oh my goodness. And I did this tiny thing and it turned out to be this big thing by the miracle working of God. And oh my goodness, I was just part of something that God did. That is amazing. That is amazing. God speaks to us in different ways. God appears to us in different ways. Ways that otherwise might seem entirely mundane. And yet that is how God works. And all it takes is for one person to look at something that seems utterly mundane to somebody else. Like, there was this beautiful thing back a while ago. I just noticed that some parishioners in our church were just showing up to church with extra bags of groceries, like practically every week or two, you know. And there was just this quiet little exchange of things going on for a family that really, really needed it. They never drew attention to the fact that they were doing it. But one day I noticed this bag full of toilet paper. You know what? God was in that bag full of toilet paper. That is a beautiful gift to a family in need. As we begin a new year at St. George's, I pray that God will continue this good work within us. And I also pray that God will give us eyes to see and hearts to recognize His Holy Spirit at work. May He strengthen our belief in His power to change our lives, to heal our wounds, and to open our doors. To open our doors so that we may welcome in new brothers and sisters and step out into the world in faith and service in his name and to his glory. That is my prayer for St. George's. So let us all say, amen.